email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 087032 3232 for your WhatsApp messages. Now, it took 3.5 years to build at a cost of about 250 million euro. That's quarter of a billion. It towers 625 metres and spans over 1,400 metres between two towers over a river and vast gorge. And it shortens travel time, where it is, from 2 hours to 2 minutes. Its height is the equivalent of two Eiffel Towers or six Statues of Liberty. And if you don't have vertigo at this stage, you can take a 2,000 or even a 207-metre elevator to the top. And you can enjoy a coffee looking down at the river below, and you will be 800 metres up. Now, that's 10 times anything we have in this country. What am I talking about? Well, it's the world's highest bridge, which is just open to traffic in China. And on the line is Daniel Dumbrell, who's a Canadian vlogger living in China, who's made a documentary about the bridge. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. This is spectacular, Daniel, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. It's really, I mean, you know, you can obviously see the documentary, but being there is totally different and seeing it for yourself, of course.
Yeah. So what sort of bridge is it?
Well, it's a suspension bridge.
Yeah.
And so just as you said, it's 1.4 kilometers between the two towers. I think that's the most impressive stat because that is just being held up basically in the sky. I think one of the most impressive views, you know, a lot of people have seen drone footage from it from above, but one of my favorite views was seeing it from under in a boat going up the river, because then you are unable to see the sides of it. You're unable to see the tower, and it just looks like this line that is just drawn through the sky.
Yeah.
That's when you really get a sense for how high up it is in the sky.
And I watched your documentary, and when you arrived at the base of one of the towers, what was that like?
I mean, it was incredible. I live in a city in China called Chongqing, where there are a lot of bridges, but this is just in a category of its own. I mean, when you're riding up to it, and especially if you're kind of looking over the edge as you're driving across it, you really get a sense for being up in the sky there.
Yeah. And you're originally from Canada. It's taller than the Empire State Building from the river.
That's right. It's about 200 or so meters higher than the Empire State Building.
Right. Why was it built?
If we were to compare it to somewhere, I don't know how it works there, but in Canada, we would usually wait until there was a need for a bridge like that, meaning that there was a population in that specific area to support it, or there was economic activity to support it. They do things a little bit different here. They build roads and they build structures first and then allow the local populations to grow into it.
Right.
So Guizhou traditionally has been one of the poorest provinces in China, but they've been going on quite a big project to alleviate poverty throughout China. So this is part and parcel with that, where it is expected to increase economic activity there.
Mm.
Now everybody is a lot more connected to the major cities. Logistically also, if locals were selling goods, they can send it with couriers or get into the cities easier. So mostly about economic activity.
Yeah, because looking at it, there seems to be a hillside village on one side, and that's the only sort of population I could see. I think you stayed in that little village. So it's this huge feat of modern engineering, and all around it is just mountains and this little village.
Yeah, it really is difficult for somebody. I mean, I've been living in China since 2008, so I've seen a lot of projects like this.
Mm.
And in my earlier years in China, I would see certain things being built, and I would ask the same thing. I would be like, is there really a need for this? Like, is this actually going to get use? But then they grow into it and they build into it. Like I've seen so many reports of these kind of like they have these ghost cities in China. And even I look at them and I'm thinking, what are they going to actually do with this? But you never really see the follow-up reports on them 4 or 5 years later when there's incredible economic activity going on there. Now, of course, this bridge will also help people get from, you know, major cities in Guizhou province over to major cities in Yunnan province a lot faster also. Yeah. So there are some bigger population centers that will get the use out of it. But you're right, in the immediate area, there's not much going on in terms of population and just some kind of sparsely populated villages, as you said.
And it's an amazingly beautiful gorge that it spans. The Huajiang, is that how you pronounce it? Huajiang Grand Canyon Bridge.
That's correct.
Very proud of it. Tallest bridge in China. It's also going to be a tourist attraction. Explain that to us.
Yeah, it is. They've built within the belly of the bridge. They've built a coffee shop, a bungee jump. They also have a cordless bungee jump also, which I was trying to figure out what is that. But it's basically a net that drops down into this enclosed area where people can jump into that also. It seems like they're going to be opening up skydiving and base jumping once per year. They just had that a couple of days ago. There's a lot of videos online of people doing skydiving and base jumping off of it. And they were so excited because they were saying that they've done so many base jumps and so many skydives, but usually it's, you know, under the cover of, you know, trying to get onto the a bridge, trying to evade police.
Yeah.
But now they're on this bridge where they're being allowed to do
it. It's legal, yeah.
Yeah, legally, exactly.
Can we go back to the cordless bungee jumping for a minute? How does it work? So there's a net where, and where do they jump from? And how do they get back up?
Apparently there's an opening in one portion of underneath the bridge, and there's a net that drops down. I don't know how many meters it is. I think it's probably about 30 meters or 40 meters, if I remember correctly. And you would jump into that,
and then
you would be caught into this kind of net underneath it.
But you're sort of 600 meters up from the river, and all that
all
that protects you from falling that 600 meters is this net.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, neither for me.
Yeah, and then there's another restaurant where you go up 207-meter elevator, and that brings you right up to 800 meters with spectacular views,
I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's right. That one in particular would be measured from the bottom of the canyon to the top, higher than the Burj Khalifa. So they're calling it the highest coffee shop in the world. I would imagine there's places with higher elevation, but I guess from this, they're measuring from the ground to that coffee shop. It would be considered one of the highest coffee shops in the world.
Yeah. I saw you get out and climb over the edge of it to get down to the restaurant in the belly of it, as you described it. That looked very scary,
right,
Daniel?
It kind of was, you know, and that's not going to be the place where regular guests need to climb down. So now, obviously, I was there before it officially opened, so it was still a bit of a construction site. There is going to be a tunnel that goes all the way to the entrance of one side of the bridge where people will go through. But yes, it was a little bit shaky. It was something that was temporary that the construction workers were using. But I gave it a try and it turned out okay.
So we have a number of pretty impressive suspension bridges in this country. What I didn't know, and maybe it's not the same for the bridges in Ireland, but in the cables, one of the engineers was explaining to you, what's in the cables?
Yeah, that's right. That was the most interesting thing that I had learned when speaking to one of the engineers, that inside the cables, there's some sort of a system that allows it to measure the wind speeds, the temperatures, the pressure, and all kinds of other metrics. So I would imagine if one day they had very high winds or high gusts, it would automatically send messages to the authorities where they would temporarily close the bridge or make adjustments based on temperature. But that's all built into the actual support cables. So they're kind of dual purpose.
So real-time monitoring of everything that's going on.
Exactly.
Why did you go to China in 2008?
In 2008, I had been doing business, and a lot of my product was sourced from China, and I could have continued doing that business from Canada if I wanted to. But after visiting China, I just thought, this is a cool place, and there's a lot of cool things going on here. So I came over in 2008 and kind of never looked back. I've been here ever since.
Right. You're fluent in Chinese.
Yeah, I can get around. That's for sure. In the documentary, obviously, I'm having the conversations with the engineer in Chinese. But
Can you put into words what it's like as a country? Because it's vast, obviously, and very different to how we live. What do you say to people when they ask you, what's China like?
Yeah, I mean, if people are really asking that with an open mind, or because they've heard a lot of things in most kind of mainstream Western media, I just tell them it's a place with amazing progress. They prioritize the people. And this bridge is a perfect example of that because it ties into this poverty alleviation. You know, we're asking this question, how many people are going to be benefited in the beginning? But they really tried to improve the lives of ordinary people. And it is just continually improving. When I came here in 2008, for example, one of the other, you know, miracle stories of infrastructure here is the high-speed rail. there was no high speed rail when I arrived in 2008. There was a line from Shenzhen, just across from Hong Kong to Guangzhou, of about, it must be 100 kilometers or so. But now there's over 50,000 kilometers of high-speed rail that's been built in the time that I've been in China for 17 odd years. Things move really quickly here, and it's quite remarkable.
Do you ever feel that your freedom is threatened in any way?
No. I know how this will sound to people who have heard traditional stories about China and in mainstream media, but on a day-to-day basis, you are actually far more free here than you are in many Western countries. And I know how bizarre that will sound to people, because I know how that would have sounded to me if somebody said that to me in 2008. But I did a video also on the reverse culture shock, because I just went back to Canada I hadn't been back in 7 years, and I went back for the summer holiday with my kids. And I was just so surprised at how overregulated daily life is. Like, in the town my parents live in, you can't hang a clothing line in your backyard. You can't park a vehicle in your driveway over a certain height. You know, the police are always looking for you to mess up and not come to a complete stop at a stop sign. But here in China, if you were to see an argument between an ordinary citizen and a police officer, usually it's the citizen yelling at the police officer rather than the other way around. And when I told my friends about that in Canada, they're like, oh, don't do that here. You're going to get yourself in trouble if you do that. So it's really different from what people imagine. And they just have to really come and see it for themselves. I don't think they should really trust any one person on that topic. But the best thing to do is just kind of come and see it for themselves.
So your experience has been a very positive one.
Oh, it's been extremely positive. And they're very welcoming to foreigners also. Very accommodating. You know, if you're learning the language also, they have a lot of patience for you. And it's a really great place.
Okay. Daniel Dumbrell, who's a Canadian blogger living in China for the last 17 years. Thanks for bringing us up to date on the tallest bridge in the world, which is just open to traffic.
My pleasure.
In China. Thanks, Daniel. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.